God bless you. This is ADS English Sunday Service with Evangelist Luis Ventura Jr. We're going to be in Job chapter 1, verse 20. Job chapter 1, verse 20. And it says like this: Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And what did he do? What did he do? He worshiped and said, Naked came out of my mother's womb. And naked should I return. They either. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We are a generation that worships. This is one of my favorite stories because it talks about a man that was tempted and tested in all. And even with everything, he was still faithful. Even with everything that happened in his life, with everything that he lost, he was still faithful to God. I described Job like a survivor. How many survivors are here today? Raise your hand if you're a survivor. And I like because the story starts that the angels came to present themselves before God. And when they came to before God, the Bible says and teaches that between them was Satan. And Satan comes forth and God sees that Satan is between them because nobody can hide from God. He is sovereign God. He is king. He knows everything. He's the creator of the universe. And he says that it says that God saw Satan. And God and Satan start to have a conversation. It's very interesting because it's rare in the Bible where God and Satan speak. And it says the story that they were having a conversation and God made him a question and Satan said, I was going through the earth and searching through it. God says that. So he sees that he's there. And Satan and God have a conversation. And here's where I get the intention of the story, because the Bible says that Satan said, I am searching through earth. And the first thing that God tells him, haven't you realized while you're searching through earth to who to hinder and attack, didn't you see a servant that I have there? Didn't you notice a servant that I have there? God tells Satan in a few words, if there's someone that you want to bother him. God tells that to Satan. Because the problem is that we have a misunderstanding with God. Because see what God says about him. He's a righteous man. He is away from evil. The Bible says that there wasn't a man like him on earth. and people has a misunderstanding about God because I am a person of God. Nothing bad's gonna happen to me. Because I am a righteous and a good person, the only thing that should happen to me is good things and not bad things. Let me teach you something about God. More you seek God, more problems you're gonna have. Getting closer to God does not limit you to not being attacked. It makes you a target. And people get frustrated because I pray, I fast, I'm righteous, I give my tithes, I love my brothers. Why me? How many have you come to church and say, why me? I always ask that, why God, why me? And this man was righteous. He was apart from sin. He loved his wife and kids. And when he is on earth enjoying God's blessings in heaven, God is putting him in a situation and problems. And people say, why is hell coming towards me? And tell a person to your side that because in heaven they mentioned your name. Tell them, because in heaven they mentioned your name. They're talking about you in heaven. What are they going to do with you? Listen. So now, God gave a list to Satan. Tell Satan, this man is righteous. He is apart from sin. There's no other man like him on earth. Imagine how God expresses himself about Job. Now, I want to ask, can God express himself like that about you? Can God express himself of you like he did with Job? But the story gets more interesting. The Bible says that while they're having this conversation, Satan tells God, you know, why he's righteous, he's worthy, why he's faithful. Look at all the blessings you have given to him. In other words, Satan's telling God, he's faithful because you are God. He is faithful for everything you have given to him. And now Satan says, let me attack him and see how he will stop. He will stop blessing you. But the Bible, the Hebrew Bible says, let me destroy him, and I bet that he will leave you and stop worshiping you. But what Satan didn't know is that God moves in the past, present, and future. God knew that Job was not going to fail him, but he still put him into that problem because God wanted to teach Satan that it doesn't matter how much you attack my creation or what you take away, doesn't matter what you do with them, I have creations that are faithful. My creation is faithful. How many are faithful to God? So he says, let me take everything away from him. Let me attack him. Let me destroy him into pieces. Let me. Look, the sovereign of God that Satan was asking to bother you. Even when Satan wants to bother you, he needs God's permission. not only asking for permission, but now God puts limits. Touch everything you want, but accept his soul. Because God understood that the only thing Job was going to have was his worship. So now, in 24 hours, did I say 22 hours? In 24 hours, he lost. He lost. Do you know what it's like to lose everything in 24 hours? Imagine that you woke up, your work, your wife, your money that's in the bank, the millions that you have, your kids, the car, the work. Okay, and one day you wake up and there's nothing there. And not only that, but you lose everything, and then you have to come to church and give thanks to God. And then you have to come to church and preach. And you have to come to church and lead worship. This man lost everything. Everything. He lost everything. The only thing that he had was his clothes and his wife. And what do you say, the devil of his wife? Have you read this story? You know what the wife said unto him? The devil doesn't have limits. If the devil wants to use what you more love, or you love more, to attack your worship, he is going to do that. The devil, that's what he does. That's why you should never love the things more than loving God. Because when you love things, Satan says, I can use that against them. Because when you love God over everything else, that doesn't affect your worship. So he comes. The only thing he had left was his wife, and the wife says, you know, deny your God and die so I can get the insurance, the life insurance. Listen to me carefully. But it fascinates me what the wife told his Job. What fascinates me is what Job told the wife. I want you to understand, I know that pandemic has affected a lot of people. There's been a lot of problems. You've been losing friends and family. It's been a difficult year. But let me tell you something. If this man could get up, you also can get up. ADS is gonna lift up from where they were. And God will take this church to a new dimension. I don't know if you believe it with me in this morning. God brought me here to tell you, not the pandemic or the sickness or the demons are gonna stop the purpose of God in this house. What I started here, God will finish. Lift up your hands and say, there's a new beginning for this home, new beginning for this house. What God started, he is going to finish. Oh, glory to God. Raise your hands to the heavens and let the enemy know that you still have life, that you still have a glory, God, that you still have a hallelujah, you still have worship. Somebody say, glory to God. Say, I will get up from where I was, and I'm going to walk, and I am going to live. You are not going to die. Let me preach right now. Sit. Say, I am not going to die. God has brought me this morning to this church to tell this church, ADS, you're not going to die. God brought me this morning to tell this church, you are full of survivors. To his name, glory. Let me finish preaching. So he loses everything. But see what Job replies. Verse 20. How many know that without the presence of God, we can't go anywhere? The Bible says. And then Job got up. Now I ask myself, church, verse 20, then Job arose. Now I ask, how can a man that lost everything has the desire to arise? Where did he have that desire to get up after losing everything? Imagine that your wife left you, that your kids die, that you lose work, you lose the church, you lose money, you lose the house, and then you have to come to church and preach. Who's gonna want to preach like that? Who is wanna preach when in life everything has been taken away? Who is gonna wanna search of God and pray? Who's gonna want to come to church? And I asked God, God, you need to tell me why this man, where he had the energy to get up or the desire. And I heard a voice and told me, why do you want to know, my son? And I said, because the day that you decide that I lose everything, I want to have that desire to lift myself up again. Listen. And you know what happened? God took me to a verse where it has nothing to do with the story of Job. And he tells me to search this verse, and it says, I am the way, the truth, but overall I am life. And I said, God, what does this have to do with the story of Job? And God tells me everything. And God tells me, read it again. I am the way, the truth, but overall I am life. What does that have to do with it? And God says, well, I'm going to help you. And God tells me, take away the word way, the word truth. Concentrate on the word life. And you know, Job teaches us a very important lesson. Why God, I say. And God said, I'm going to explain. You need to understand that I am life. Life comes from me. If I stop existing, life stops. The reason why Earth has life is because I exist. But the time that I, or the day that I stop existing, everything disappears because I am life. Because I am the essence of life. I give life life. Preaching, what are you telling me? The problem is that for a lot of you, life is your home, your car, and money. Life to you is a family, husband. And you know what? God told me there's a lot of here that I had to take a lot away from so I can reveal to them that I am life. Listen to me. Because Job understood and he said, wait, I lost everything from life, but I still have the person that gives life, or the one that gives life. Wait, I want you to get this. And God told me, what is it worth for you to have the things of life, but you don't have the one that provides life. And God told me, people think because they lost work, they lost life. Because they lost, because they returned the car, they lost the life. Let me tell you something. When you have God, you never lose. Because having Him, you have everything. Having Him. Look to the one beside you and tell them, I lost my job. I lost money. Maybe I might lose my home. But if I don't lose Him, I know that He will return everything. Everything that I have lost. You have not lost anything. You have not lost anything. Because if I have Him, I have everything. If I have Him, I have everything. And Satan attacked your car, your house, and your finances. So you can come to church frustrated and you don't worship. But in this morning, we're going to teach the enemy with a car or without a car. I'm still a worshiper. Without money or with money, I'm still raising my hands and saying hallelujah. With problems or without problems, I still scream glory to God. I still scream hallelujah. You are not going to die. I feel something's happening. Come on, we're gonna live and we're gonna testify the miracles of God. My children are gonna worship God. And this pandemic is not gonna stop the church. The church is gonna come out more stronger. There's a glory that's coming. There's a glory that's coming to this place. It's not compared to what you've heard. There's gonna be a bigger place. There's gonna be a bigger dimension. And the enemy knows that time is closed. That time is around the corner, and he knows this. And he wants to kill your faith and your hope. But in the name that is over any name, we're gonna go to where God wants us to take us. Say glory to God. So see what happens. Because sometimes we feel that when we lose things, we lose everything. In God, nobody loses. In God, everybody wins. You're never gonna lose in God. You're always gonna win. Are you listening to me? God loves you. And you're always going to win in God. Listen. But you know the problem. You know the problem. What happened that a lot of you are in a process that God is taking away. But this is what a lot of you are doing. God says, this is not good for you. But you come and you say, but I love what I have. And God says, but I want to give you something better. No, I am comfortable with what I have. And the problem is that because we have a fear of losing, we are comfortable with what we have. And God says, I want to take that away from your life, but you're saying no. But you know what God does with us? When God wants to take away something, it's because He is creating a space to put something better. And the problem is that what is holding your blessing is not the devil or the demons. It's you. And you're frustrating with God. And you're fighting with God. And God is telling you that boyfriend is not good for you. That work is not good for you. But you're afraid that you're not going to have another job. And you're there. And you don't come to church. And you get cold in the things of God. And there are things in your life that God wants to take away, and He is saying, I am permitting for you to lose your job, so because I'm going to give you something that's going to allow you to come to church and pay your rent at the same time. But God says, sometimes we're selfish. We want the old blessings and the new blessings as well. God doesn't work that way. God says you have to release what doesn't work so I can create a space for what does really work. But there's a lot of you here that are still fighting. Oh, already in love. Why did you fall in love? Because you didn't ask God first. Why didn't you ask God first? So God is telling ADS, do you want the old blessing or do you want the new blessing? There's a lot of you that are looking at me like this or are like this. Look what God did with Job. See what God did with Job. And gave him everything. Took away everything. Made him cry. Made him suffer. And after he gave him everything duplicated. God is testing somebody here. God is testing your patience, your endurance. And God is saying, if you can hold on a little longer, I'm going to give you what you need. Pastor, what I do while I'm waiting, you praise. And he kneeled down and praised and worshiped. I have a question for those people here. Who is going through what Job went through? Nobody, right? If it wasn't a burden for him to worship, why is it a burden for you to worship? Tell me. You know the frustrated Satan had to be with Job, that he took everything but he couldn't take away his worship. You really want to frustrate the devil? Worship. You really want to frustrate the devil? Worship God and scream. Shake yourself if you need to, but you need to say, devil, I do not praise God because of what you have. I praise God because He is God. Is there people here that praise God and show the enemy that this church still has worshipers? I feel the glory of God here. Where are the worshipers here? Where are the women that worship? The men that worship? Where is the youth that worships? Where is that people that raise their hands towards heaven? I feel God in this place. He worshiped God. Job worshiped God. And he said, God gave and God take it away. May the name of the Lord be praised and glorified. I came naked to this, out of my mother's womb. So he took off his clothes and his hair. He was naked. And he was naked. Imagine, Pastor, you come out to the parking lot and see a naked man screaming, glory, hallelujah. Imagine that. I imagine people looking at Job all naked and saying, and him saying glory to God. People would have said, maybe this man is crazy. But you know, what it means for him to be naked, that he didn't have embarrassment of worshiping God. Spiritually, what God is saying, he was naked because he was not embarrassed. There's some people here that know and feel what I'm saying, but they're like, no, I've spent 2 hours doing my makeup. No, I straighten my hair, and if I start sweating, it's gonna go puffy. This is a brand new shirt, and I don't want to get all sweated up. See, look. I prefer that you come in pretty, but come out ugly. That when somebody asks you what happened, that happens that there was a preacher invited from Puerto Rico, and when he started a worship, I started feeling the presence of God. I'm ugly, but I'm blessed. Oh, say, it's time to worship. Look to the person beside you and say, it's time to worship God. Raise up your hands and say, I will worship. Oh, I'm gonna worship God. I'm gonna give him the praise. Because if I have him, I have everything. He was not embarrassed. That's what it means to be the nakedness of Job. When he was worshiping God, he didn't care who was watching him. No, because if I worship God, oh, somebody's gonna watch me. It doesn't matter. They're probably more in sin than you. So I said, what do you want me to go tell ADS? And he said, tell that church. Tell them that they are not gonna die. God brought me as a prophet, and tell this church that it's a larger vision that you're thinking of. There's a larger vision than what you can imagine. God is gonna send, this church is gonna be full, and it's gonna be full during this pandemic, so you can know that the God that you serve. Say, I am gonna go through this test. If Job can go through it, I can go through it. And I am going through it, worshiping and singing. I'm gonna go through it with my hands raised up. Is there anybody crazy like me in here? Somebody that can raise your hand, that can say ADS is going up and not down. ADS is gonna see the glory of God. ADS is gonna see what God is gonna do. You are gonna be surprised with what God is gonna do in your life. Is there worshipers here? Is there anybody that can worship with me? Is there anybody can raise their hand? Is there anybody that can say, I'm gonna worship him? Somebody that can say, devil, you have come to right here with my family, with my marriage, with my kids, with everything I have. Oh, help me praise God. Help me praise the Lord. Help me sing to God. Help me praise God. God's telling you, I am coming to give you what you desire. Tell them, you came just to hear. This is the end. This is the end of you with my home, with my finances, my marriage, my kids, my church. It's up to here. This is the last. Now I'm gonna go into a dimension of worship. I can feel the presence of God here. You are going to live. And you're gonna testify the miracles of God. If God hasn't given up on you, don't give up on yourself. The other day I told God, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of getting on a plane, getting off a plane, preaching, traveling the world. And God, and people just look like they don't want to accept the word of God. And the frustration of a preacher is preaching to people that don't want to listen. And I said, God, I'm tired. Like, more I preach, the more attack that I have. And you know what he told me, what God told me, while I was crying in an airplane because I was tired, coming back from Colombia, preaching more than 5,000 people. I said, God, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. Because there's people that are with you and they're not really with you. They use you for what you have, for the anointing that you carry. And you know what God told me? Son, you cannot give up just yet. Because if I haven't given up on you, don't give up on yourself. God hasn't given up on you. Tell him, God. Say, God has not given up on me. Don't give up. That you're going to see what God has promised. My brother, in the airplane, God knew that he was going to talk to me because that plane was going to be empty because it happened during the corona time. And the airplane was empty and I started to speak in tongues in the airplane. And you know what's tremendous? The lady that was helping me, she said, are you a preacher? And I said, yes, how do you know? Because I'm Pentecostal too, she said. And she asked, can you pray for me? Yes, in 1,000 feet in the air, we're going to have a Pentecostal prayer in an airplane. And I prayed for her. And she also started speaking in tongues. And the two other people that were there, they started looking at us like we were crazy. If God hasn't given up on you, don't give up on yourself. Look at the person next to you and say, tell them we're not gonna die. We're gonna live and we're gonna testify the miracles of God. If you believe in this word, say amen. Lift your hands to heaven. I want you to raise your hands to heaven and close your eyes. I don't want you to ask God for anything. I just want you to worship God and tell him thank you. Give him thanks. Worship him and give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks for the good, for the bad. This ends the preaching. May God bless you.